Hey guys, we're going to look today at Mark chapter 12, finishing out the chapter with the story of the widow's mite and the disciples' awe at the temple. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." So remember, these two incidents happen at the end of Jesus', if you will, inspection tour of the temple. Remember, with the triumphal entry, he comes into Jerusalem, he inspects the temple, he curses the fig tree, which represents the temple, and then he has a series of encounters with various authorities. Finally, he himself begins criticizing authorities, and he's just gotten done criticizing the scribes. And then we have this incident of the widow with her mite. And maybe we could put it this way. In all of Jesus' inspection of the state of, if you will, the state of the church in Jesus' time, comes up pretty negative. There's one scribe who comes out looking okay. You're not far from the kingdom of heaven. All the other various groups are, judgment is pronounced against them. And the only one that comes out with praise, with high praise, is this widow. And that's remarkable. It's as if God is saying he came to his vineyard and found one grape. And he was supposed to find fruit in the whole vineyard. So it's a very damning indictment of the temple and the state of the heart of the people of God in Jesus' day. So when she puts her two coins in, Jesus calls the disciples to him. And this is Mark's way of saying this is a very important teaching moment. And then, of course, Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you." So in other words, this is a very key discipleship training moment that Jesus gives them. And we should also note that these are the last words spoken by Jesus in the Old Testament temple before he is crucified. So these are very important. And a couple things I think we're to learn from this. She gave the most. So apparently God judges by a different standard than we do. And this is repetitive through the Gospels, right? The Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes alone are an example of how God's judgment of things is different than ours. And so he says, look, I've seen a lot of rich people put in a lot of money, but they all had extra, and they gave out of their extra. This widow gave out of the last of her means of living. And so, one, Jesus is saying God uses an entirely different standard to evaluate what people give to God. She gave to such an extent that I think we need to understand that her next meal was in question. I think that's what Jesus is suggesting, that even her next meal was in question. And note too, she's a widow. In ancient Israel, or in the world at the time, if there were no family to help her, this would have indeed been a very grievous situation. She would have been in desperate need. There's hardly anything more on the margin of existence than a widow at the time. And remember, Jesus has said earlier that riches really do make it hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think that at least part of the reason that is because riches give us the illusion of control. With money, we can sort of maintain this illusion that life will sort of bend our will and we can make out of life what we want to. But poverty gives people the opportunity to number one, see how much of their life is totally dependent on contingencies out of their control, but number two, to learn to depend on God. Remember, too, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, many who are last will be first. And I think this widow is a good example of that. She stands out as the only one that gets praise in the temple because she is giving wholly out of her heart to God. And I think that we should see also in her a kind of a preview of what's to come with Jesus. Jesus himself is soon to give precisely what this woman gave, everything that he has to give on the cross. And so she also sort of stands in as a prefiguration of what's to come in Jesus' ministry. And I think it's also worth asking, if we were to look at the church today, even our own congregation, and we were to ask who contributes the most to the flourishing of the house of God today, we might be surprised. It is not necessarily the pastor or home group leaders. It may be that there are those who give in love, who give in service, who give in prayer in ways that we don't see. And from God's perspective, they are giving the most to the flourishing of the house of God. So I think it makes us go, God, I don't judge things properly. It should make us question our evaluations and our judgments and bring us before the Lord to ask him to see things as he sees them. So we have one last incident here. And it's another example of the disciples or us evaluating one way and Jesus evaluating an entirely different way. So a disciple says, Jesus, look at this impressive temple. And indeed, it was impressive. And what remains of it is impressive. Nothing of the temple itself remains, but the 37-acre man-made masonry foundation is still standing, one of the stones of which weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 tons. So it was an incredible structure. And Jesus, I think, is not so much saying when he says not one stone will be left on another that nice architecture is evil, engineering is bad. I think he is saying what the house was supposed to represent, righteousness, prayer for all nations, humility, service, help to those who are needy, it is not represented, and so Jesus has pronounced a judgment on it. In other words, well, it might be really neat architecture, but that matters nothing to God if there's not the character of God manifest in that temple. It's not produced its fruit. And so Jesus said, not one stone will remain on another. This reminds me of, in the Old Testament, the priests are supposed to evaluate houses that might have mildew. And the houses are supposed to be put on quarantine, and then after a certain number of time, if the mildew won't go away, the house is supposed to be utterly destroyed. So this is the end. Jesus has declared that the house is bereft of anything that God was looking for that it was meant to produce, and so he's pronounced judgment. Interestingly, a judgment that he himself will enter into in his death on our behalf. And then we'll move into chapter 13, which is his long discourse about what's to come after that. Jesus gives his disciples some clues to prepare for those days. But may we learn to have the Beatitudes formed in us. May we increasingly learn to value things as God values them and not as man values, because we evaluate by our own human standards, and God's standards are entirely different. And that is proven the most in that a crucified man who is innocent but who is deemed a criminal is actually the Lord and King of the world. May we worship him. Amen.